Radio Prague News. The Senate has called on President Václav Klaus to sign the addendum to the Lisbon Treaty relating to the creation of a European stability mechanism. The anti-corruption police have proposed filing charges against 17 members of the Prague branch of the Social Democratic Party and thousands of people who were forced to work as virtual slaves in a Czechoslovak army unit in the 1950s could receive compensation. The Senate has called on President Václav Klaus to sign the addendum to the Lisbon Treaty relating to the creation of a European stability mechanism. The addendum to the treaty, which was agreed on at an EU summit last December, has been ratified by both chambers of parliament but still lacks the president's signature, making the Czech Republic the last EU member state to complete the ratification process. The Senate has called on the President to sign the addendum without further delay, noting that failure to comply with Parliament's decision in this matter would be in violation of the Constitution. The country's Eurosceptic President postponed putting his signature to the Lisbon Treaty for as long as possible, signing it only after the EU nodded to his demand for a Czech opt-out from the treaty's chapter of fundamental rights. The Senate on Thursday also extensively criticised the newly introduced electronic S-cards via which the state wants to pay out welfare benefits as unethical and unconstitutional. The Senate's Committee for Social Affairs is to debate a proposal for their abolition tabled by the Social Democratic Party. The new S-card system has evoked enormous controversy, with critics pointing out that pensioners living in small villages may have problems getting to a money machine and would inevitably lose money on the transaction from their already meagre pensions. Senators moreover point out that people will be forced to have an account at Česká spořitelna selected by the government to run the operation, even if they already have an account elsewhere. The anti-corruption police have proposed filing charges against 17 members of the Prague branch of the Social Democratic Party. The suspects are believed to have paid people to enter the party and vote according to their directions. This was done to influence voting in compiling the list of candidates in the 2010 general elections and elections to the Prague City Council. Two men are suspected of offering bribes, 15 of taking them. Thousands of people who were forced to work as virtual slaves in a Czechoslovak army unit in the 1950s could receive compensation, the news website IDNES reported. Men sent to the auxiliary technical battalions would get a one-off payment of 1,800 crowns for every month of what was practically imprisonment, under an Interior Ministry proposal to place them in the same category as class enemies jailed by the communist regime. The latter have already received similar compensation, and the move comes in response to a court case in September in which a former member of the auxiliary technical battalions won compensation. The proposal is set to go before the government. The Czech Health Ministry has warned of the danger of more methanol poisonings over the Christmas holidays. According to police estimates, there could still be up to 5,000 litres of uncertified, potentially dangerous alcohol in small stores and households. In the course of the past 3 months, 38 people have died of methanol poisonings from bootleg liquor, and three are currently in hospital in serious condition. Spirits have been banned from Christmas markets around the country. The Government Agency for Social Inclusion will expand its activities to 17 more towns and cities around the Czech Republic in 2013, according to the agency's head, Pavel Šimíček. The agency, set up in 2008, has been active in 33 problem localities to date, working closely with local authorities to resolve housing problems and creating a liaison between people living in social exclusion, labour offices, schools and the police. According to available data, there are around 300 slums around the Czech Republic, inhabited predominantly by members of the Romani minority. The Czech Defence Ministry is to equip the armed forces with new uniforms. According to the ministry spokesman Jan Bejšek, the purchase for summer and winter uniforms to the tune of 93 million crowns is to be made via the NATO support agency after the ministry's tender for new uniforms was cancelled by the Czech Anti-Monopoly Office. The ministry has had problems placing a tender for new uniforms for the past 2 years. And finally, a look at the weather forecast. The coming days should be partly cloudy to overcast with daytime temperatures dropping to as low as minus 9 degrees Celsius. I'm Daniela Lazarová, and that's the end of the news.
Hello, you're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech Radio. My name is Masha Walensky. Coming up in our program, the state looks set to compensate former members of a Czechoslovak army unit that effectively used them as slave labor. Then we will look at what is behind the Czech success in football's Europa League this season. And later you'll hear about the growing interest in sacral tourism around the Czech Republic in this week's Panorama. All of these stories are coming up, so do stay with us. The name Auxiliary Technical Battalions may sound innocuous, but in reality, such battalions were a division of the Czechoslovak army that used conscripts as virtual slave labor. Thousands of men who the communists deemed politically unreliable were in effect interned in them in the 1950s. Now, those still alive look set to be placed in the same official category as former political prisoners and to receive a little compensation. Ian Willoughby reports.
Po dobu mojej služby se nič zvláštno nestalo.
Ale stane se. Ale stane se a vám z toho, soudruhu majore, veselo nebude.
A clip from the popular 1992 Czech movie Černí baroni, or Black Barons, based on the novel of the same name by Miloslav Švandrulík. Both film and book put a humorous spin on the experiences of those forced to join the auxiliary technical battalions of the Czechoslovak People's Army. Milan Barta is an historian at the Institute for the Study of Totalitarian Regimes and is currently preparing an exhibition about the battalions. He says in reality, life in the units was often harsh, to say the least.
They were set up exclusively to carry out work and what they called correctional work. So conditions were dreadful, particularly for those battalions involved in underground mining. The accommodation and food were bad, while quotas were very high. Desertion was frequent. There were suicide attempts, actual suicides and such like.
The communists sent men they deemed politically unreliable to the auxiliary technical battalions, where they weren't allowed to carry weapons. The members came from a real variety of backgrounds.
There were former mine owners, former private farmers, former priests, but it turned out that to fulfill the ambitious plans set for the battalions, they needed more people. So as well as the so-called politicals, others were also sent. Those included the physically unsound, Romanies, the illiterate, and inadaptable and problematic people. The mix of soldiers who served there was very strange.
Conscripts in the auxiliary technical battalions had 30% of their incomes automatically docked for being politically unreliable. Of the remaining 70%, almost all was deducted for necessities like clothing and accommodation. In another Kafkaesque twist, the little that was left was further divided, with part going into a government book that the soldiers couldn't touch. Between 40,000 and 60,000 men passed through the battalions between 1950 and 1954, when they ceased to exist. A decade ago, surviving members received a tiny one-off compensation payment from the state, before a law in 2005 went some way further towards recompense by adding 2,500 crowns to their monthly pensions. Now the victims look set to receive a little more, after a court ruled in September that membership of the battalions was equivalent to being imprisoned. Former political prisoners are entitled to 1,800 crowns for every month they spent behind bars. And in reaction to the court ruling, the Ministry of the Interior will propose to the Cabinet that ex-battalion members get the same compensation. Historian Milan Barta welcomes this development.
Today we mainly identify them in our minds with Schwanderlich's Black Barons, but he didn't capture the reality in those camps. He made them seem humorous when that wasn't the case at all. They were actually one of the crimes of communism. I think today's system, today's era, has a responsibility not to forget the victims. I think it's necessary to appreciate and remember the reality of the auxiliary technical battalions.
Between 4,000 and 5,000 survivors of the forced labour units are believed to be still alive today, though naturally their numbers are dwindling all the time.
Ian Willoughby with that report. If you would like to comment on this story or any other, feel free to post your thoughts to the Radio Prague Facebook page. You can find many other reports on Czech history on our website, www.radio.cz. The Czech football clubs Viktoria Plzeň and Sparta Prague are in the happy situation of going into their final group games in the Europa League on Thursday night, having already qualified for the knockout phase of Europe's second-tier club competition. Their success means that it will be the first time in 9 years that Czech teams are still performing on the international stage after Christmas. What is behind their success? That's a question Jan Richter put to Karel Herring from the Czech daily Sport.
I think we have to separate the reason why both teams already qualified. Viktoria Plzeň is a team which something started 2 seasons ago, and with experiences from Champions League, they profited from that experience and they carried on with their football and with very good results. So for me, the success of Viktoria Plzeň is not such a big surprise as for Sparta Prague, which is now in more, let's say, transition situation.
Some people, including Plzeň coach Pavel Vrba, say that the team's success in the Europa League reflects an improving quality of the Czech top division. Do you agree? Do you think that the Czech Gambrinusliga has improved, or its quality rather has improved in the past years?
Yes, I would agree. There is some improvement. I wouldn't say it's a massive or rapid improvement. It's a little bit slight improvement. There are still big differences. If you watch clubs like Plzeň, Sparta, or Jablonec or Olomouc, they can play very attractive football, offensive football. Of course, you can find really bad games. If you watch clubs like Příbram, you wouldn't say, if you just watch them, you wouldn't say the Gambrinusliga is getting better. But in general, we can say there is more goals than usually. Gambrinusliga is more offensive now. So yes, this is one of the reasons of the success of Czech teams in European Cups.
But how do you see Sparta's and Plzeň's chances in the knockout stage of Europa League in the spring?
It's difficult to predict now because we will know more after the draw. But still, I think if Plzeň stay with the same team, or maybe one or two players will leave during winter break and some two or three players come in, I think Plzeň have a really good chance to go through. Of course, if they play Chelsea, it will be very difficult. But if they play two teams like from Belgium, from Portugal, not from top five leagues, they can go through maybe last 16.
Are there any particular clubs that Sparta or Plzeň would like to play in the spring?
I think generally when I spoke to players and what I heard from them, they would prefer some from England, for example. But I think in general there are wishes to play in the first playoff round against a team not from top leagues, maybe from countries, as I said, from Romania, from Belgium, Netherlands. And then if they go through in the last 16, they would like to play against some big guns.
How will the Czech success in Europa League this season improve the country's UEFA coefficient, which of course determines how many clubs can qualify for European club competitions?
This is one of the biggest profits of this good result in this season, because before the season, the Czech Republic was on the 22nd position. Now they are in the 18th. And it can help, for example, not for next season, but maybe in horizon of the next three seasons, they could be near to 15th position, which is important because you could have two teams in the Champions League qualifying rounds, and it would be a return to better times.
That was Karel Herring speaking to Jan Richter about the Czech successes in football this season. Just a reminder, you are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. We now turn to our regular panorama program, in which we look at sacral tourism, which is gaining ground fast in the Czech Republic. Although it is perceived as one of Europe's most atheist countries, the Czech Republic has an impressive network of cathedrals, basilicas and chapels, and even a church museum. Daniela Lazarová reports on how these places of worship are attracting tourists.
It's a new phenomenon in the Czech tourist industry. The list of pilgrimage sites, cloisters, churches and chapels that are visitor-friendly and offer more than the chance to attend Mass or admire the church's interior. Many of these places offer traditional guided tours by the priests themselves or by young tour guides. The tour of the Milevsko Monastery lasts as long as visitors want it to take, and none of their questions goes unanswered. Originally, it was conducted by the priests themselves, but the interest was so great that soon they had to employ professional tour guides to help out. Jakub Karel Berka is one of the premonstratensians who gives tours of the place.
There are seven brethren at the monastery, and all of us would take turns to give guided tours. But as interest grew for pastoral reasons, it became impossible for us to meet demand. So we now have professional guides to help us out.
The Klokoty pilgrimage site has gone even further to attract visitors from at home and abroad. It offers a children's corner, snacks, souvenirs, and even free internet access. Guided tours in several languages are something taken for granted. The parish administrator, Pavel Zahradníček, explains.
Otec Karel, ten...
Father Karel, who is from Austria, gives tours in several languages. He's a bit of a polyglot, and people sometimes ask him where he learned his great German.
Although much of the sacral tourism is naturally centered in Prague, the list of regional churches and pilgrimage sites is getting longer all the time. South Bohemia is a popular destination both for foreign tourists and Czechs. Many Czechs visit churches and chapels as they visit the country's castles and chateaus.
Of course, I like to see these places because they are part of our history.
Sacral sites can be very interesting even for non-believers because of their fascinating history and their architecture.
Michála Kalousková, who works at the information center in the Hussite town of Tábor, says inquiries regarding sacral sites in the vicinity have become increasingly common.
The most frequent question we get pertains to the pilgrimage site at Klokoty. People also ask a lot about the church on the main square here in Tábor, but increasingly, visitors are also inquiring about smaller churches and chapels that they can visit in the vicinity.
Petra Janská from the South Bohemian Tourist Center confirms that interest in sacral tourism has been rising.
The interest in religious sites is considerable, so we are constantly expanding our offer.
Guides have started specializing in sacral tourism, and as more sacral sites around the country get involved, the list of theme tours is growing. In August of this year, Cardinal Dominik Duka opened a church museum in the town of Bolná in the Moravian Highlands.
Pokoj Kristův, ať zůstává s vámi.
The museum itself is located on the premises of the Church of the Ascension of the Virgin Mary in Bolna, which has recently undergone a costly two-year reconstruction. On display are paintings, statues, liturgical artifacts, musical instruments, and even the living quarters of the bell ringer, furnished with period pieces. The museum was part of the reconstruction process, which cost 44 million crowns, and there are now two guides to take people around the premises. Zdeněk Krček, the deacon of the church, is extremely proud of the result and says a trip to Bolna is well worth the effort, not just for believers, but for people interested in the country's history and architectural legacy.
A je to chrám, který si zaslouží návštěvu.
Our church is well worth a visit. It's a pearl of Dietrich Stein architecture. And although I say it myself, the interiors are a treasure trove where we have exhibited monstrances, chalices, ciboria, and liturgical robes. Visitors can admire unique stucco work, impressive paintings, but above all, in my view, they'll find a parish that is very much alive.
Ale hlavně si myslím unikátní živá farnost.
On their way to the museum, visitors can also admire an exhibition on the history of Bolna's bells and the work of bell ringers. Recognizing the potential in sacral tourism, the government agency Czech Tourism has recently issued brochures in Italian and Spanish promoting the country's most attractive pilgrimage sites. The upcoming 1150th anniversary of the arrival of Saint Cyril and Methodius to Great Moravia in 2013 is perceived as an important international event that is expected to attract hundreds of believers from Italy, Spain and Latin America, but also from many other countries. Based on an agreement between the Orthodox Church and the Roman Catholic Church, the nationwide celebrations will emphasize the unity of Christians. The celebrations will include a meeting of cultures in Miguelchice, organized by the Orthodox Church, and the traditional Days of People of Goodwill at Velehrad, organized by the Roman Catholic Church. There are suggestions to establish a religious pilgrimage trail following in the footsteps of the two saints, and this would naturally include traditional places connected with a Cyril Methodian mission in the Czech Republic. The anniversary is expected to give sacral tourism a big boost, and the fact that Parliament recently approved a law on the return of church property that has opened the way to the full independence of churches in the Czech Republic is likely to strengthen this trend even further.
That was Daniela Lazarová reporting on sacral tourism in the Czech Republic. And this brings us, unfortunately, to the end of today's program. Just to remind you, we're always happy to read your comments or questions about our program, so do get in touch with us. You can do that by either sending a letter to Vinohradská 12, postcode 12099, Prague 2, or you can drop us an email to english@radio.cz. You can also find us on Facebook, and of course, all of our programs are available online at radio.cz. From all of us here at Radio Prague, thank you very much for joining us. I'm Masha Vlinsky, and I hope you will tune into our program tomorrow. Goodbye for now.